Hey, you gonna go blurry on us again? Remember you had it all set up to go fancy the last Supernatural Then and Now podcast. You had it all blurry.
I know that threw you because technology, but it was
it threw everybody. I mean, it was just like everybody's like, "Whoa, Robbie's going blurry."
No one said a thing but you.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the kings of con.
No, actually, the other guys they did. They're like, "Oh, Rob, like, is going big and blurry."
And I didn't hear that. What Rich is referring to is that at our last video conference, I had it set to blurry because I did something on the Zoom that was for the public consumption. And I don't know, I was trying out the blurry. A lot of people blurry. You know, one of the people that you're lying and said was making fun of my blur was Phil Segrisha, who was
Wait
blurred.
A I did not say making fun of. I said reacting.
Commenting,
to.
Sure. Yeah. But he
That's
was
not
blurry.
Making fun of. I mean, when's the last time you knew Phil Segrisha to make fun of anybody? Oh, wait, hold on. All the time.
Wait a minute. That's his only mode.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was classy. I thought it was a leap forward in time and in style and tone.
Okay. Well, really, it's just that I was trying it out. A lot of people. Really,
yeah.
That's the truth. A lot of people do the blur.
A lot of people do the blur, dude.
You know, and I'm sitting here warts and all, you know. And when I don't know if you know this, but I call my guitars warts.
Warts. You got a shitload of warts back there. I gotta say, I just assumed it meant you had upgraded that room totally, and anything you'd added was none of our beeswax. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, as you can see, it's the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. That's fine because it's a nice space. You got a nice space there at Fartoon Studios. I didn't know what was going on. It was a great conversation starter. So, I mean, even now you're a little defensive about it. I think you should embrace it. I think you did this whole style thing. It's like if you buy a new hat, you know, and you go to school, the kids are like, "Hey, new hat." But then 2 weeks in, they're like, "Hey, where'd you score that hat?" You know, you were kind of trendsetting
right.
A little bit.
Right. Well, I mean, my one setting is defense. You know what I mean? That's my only setting, really, is defense.
I'm trying to think of a different way to say no shit. Because I say no shit all the time. How do I mix
speaking
it
of
up?
Speaking of new hats, is that a new M. Crow hat?
No, this is the same one you saw me sporting at a convention recently.
Okay, because my M. Crow hat's a little more flat build.
Yeah, well, you know, they come flat billed. I curve them.
You curve the flat bill.
Flat bills. I mean, I have one or two that I'll wear, but honestly, Rich, I look like a dope in flat bill.
Everybody knows Rich doesn't do flat bills.
The flat bills don't do me. If I looked good in a flat bill, I would be happy to use it. I think I just got a skosh too much redneck in me to really
I don't know,
pull
man.
It off.
You can. I think you can pull it off. Your sons can certainly pull it off. I think
well,
you can pull it off.
Yeah, they can. They look great in the flat bill. Or the curve. They're blessed with great hat heads. Clearly, they got them from their mother, those hat heads.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think you sell yourself short.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, so talk to me. A lot's happened since we last spoke on the podcast and since we last spoke. The last time I spoke to you really was just me, you, one-on-one, was at the last podcast. So... so
for anybody who thinks we plan these things and work them out, nope.
To walk me through your birthday. How was your birthday?
Birthday was lovely. I spent some time at the beach with the kids. I had been in Vancouver, but I got home the day before my birthday, and which is, you know, always a holiday weekend, which makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And just did family stuff. Just did, went to Mexican food the night before my birthday, and then woke up, all went to Laguna Beach and splashed around in the surf with some cousins. And
Laguna's nice.
Laguna's lovely. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be crazy busy because usually the beach areas are. But I tell you, nothing like 100-degree temperatures in Southern California.
Oh, right. It was hot as hell.
Yeah.
What day was that? That was the...
Oh, Saturday.
Saturday. Wow, yeah. That was in the thick of it.
It's really... And it's so weird. L.A. is going through a huge heat wave. I know a lot of areas are. It feels weird to say that because Southern California is often warm. Plus, I grew up in Nashville. You grew up in Columbia, Missouri. We grew up in areas that are way hotter than L.A.
Yeah.
Like, way hotter. And yet, for some reason, it strikes us and everybody as a massive deal that mm-hmm. L.A. is hitting 100, whereas, you know, Nashville hits 100 the entire month of August. But I guess it's just not usual here because of the desert climate. And also, you know, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, but at 6 o'clock it was 83 outside.
Yeah, it was hot. It was hot when I took Audrey to school this morning. It was hot already. Yeah. So is Nashville? So the people in Nashville, are you talking about? Did you talk to your mom, Barb, Wonder Barb? And was she like, why are people complaining?
No, because I don't think she's paying attention to the LA weather. Okay. I'm just saying, for me, I notice that we're all like, oh, it's so hot. But, you know, in Austin, it's, it's Friday. I mean, it's just another.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Certain areas are just hot.
Yeah.
And we're not used to that level of heat.
We're kind of constantly 75, 80.
Right.
And so, yeah, I know this is hot. And it's hot. It's a hot. It's a desert hot.
It's a very hot, and it doesn't cool down at night or in the morning. And I think that's the part that's getting people.
Yeah.
The people are used to L.A. chilling out in the morning and in the evening, and it's just not happening.
Something is about to happen, or so they say. So the weatherman says that either today or tomorrow, we're supposed to get something that they call rain. It's water that actually falls from the sky.
Oh, so somebody's pulling a prank, like a bucket of water. Somebody's going to dump a bucket of water.
Well, if that's somebody's God, then yeah. But yeah, there's supposed to be a rain. Now, a rain, honestly, I've been looking forward to because I love it when it rains, which it never does.
Yeah, rain. It okay, never. I'm looking this up.
Right. It never.
Is it R H A Y N E?
No, I think everybody knows it's R A I N E.
Okay. Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it's supposed to rain. Now, I always get excited, but rain ends up being sprinkling for about a half an hour.
Let's see. I'm going to look at the weather and see what kind of chain you're yanking here. Saturday, 40% chance of rain. Huh.
40? That's not great. That's not a great chance.
No.
What about today?
And by the way, today it's supposed to get up to 37.
37?
Yeah, I switched my phone to Celsius.
Oh, Jesus.
Because I'm trying to get... So for years, I've gone on 24-hour clock on my phone and my watch. Because I want to be able to, you know, read a call sheet or go to Europe and know what time it is. So somebody
right, because you go to Europe so much.
Well, in my mind. I go to Europe in my mind. Uh-huh. I like this morning, I had an espresso. Uh-huh. You know what time I had my espresso? I'll tell you in 24-hour time. 7 a.m.
Right.
Oh, 700. But now, if I had it at 1 o'clock p.m., that'd be 1300, Robert,
there
and I would know that because I've gotten used to 24-hour clock. Oh, you know what? Whistle blows. It must be 1700. We're off work.
I mean, I can
working
really
working 9 to 1700. Right. What a way to make a living.
I mean, I can do that because I know math, but Celsius, I can't. I don't even know.
Yeah, there's some sort of equation. And by the way, I heard that little dig about my math skills, but there's an equation, like today, it's going to be 37 degrees. Now, what does that mean in Fahrenheit?
97.
It means 98.
All right, my clock says, I mean, my phone says 97. Okay, so.
But wow, so is it just you add 60?
No, because 0 degrees Celsius is freezing. That's 32
degrees. 32 degrees Fahrenheit is freezing.
But it changes as it goes up. I don't think you don't add 32.
Let's see, how to...
This is just, once again, just amazing podcasting.
I hope Al Cal is on the edge of his seat.
I hope so.
Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
To Celsius. Okay, here we go. And by the way, Celsius and centigrade, same thing?
I don't know.
Okay, here you do, buddy.
Let me look that up while you're reading this.
This is easy. Okay. To convert temperatures in degrees from Fahrenheit to Celsius. Oh, sorry. Not to convert temperatures in degrees Fahrenheit to Celsius. This is easy. All you do is take the Fahrenheit temperature, subtract 32, and then multiply that number by 0.5556.
Okay. Easy. Easy.
Do it in your head. Hawking.
Right. Okay.
And then how do you do it? And they go, here you go. How do you convert Celsius to Fahrenheit mentally? If you find yourself needing to quickly convert Celsius to Fahrenheit, here's a simple trick you can use. Multiply the temperature in degrees Celsius by 2, then add 30. Ooh, I like.
What is
it? So 38 divided by 2, 38 times 2 would be 76. And then you add 30. That's 106. That's not what it says it is. Well, close. How do you first see 30? Wait, hold on. Wait a minute.
Hey, by the way, my answer. Celsius and centigrade are indeed the same thing.
Yeah. Take that, Fahrenheit.
So we're 1 out of 2. We never got the answer for the other one.
Whatever. You know what's frustrating is that America doesn't do things based on powers of 10. It makes so much more sense to have 0 be freezing and 100 be boiling.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
That's true.
Than 32 and
right.
Whatever boiling is, 312 or something.
Right. So in Canada, they do your centigrade, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be 38. It's hot.
Yeah. Are they from Minnesota? Is that your...
Well, if you think that was Minnesota, I'm not far off.
Yeah, true. But now give me your Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, yeah. They're way up there, eh?
Not bad. Now give me a little White Horse Yukon.
Well, that's Tomo. He's down here like this, eh?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Thank you.
Now, for the kids at home. Fahrenheit boiling is 212, not 312. Give me a little Newfoundland. Give me a Newfoundland.
Wow, I don't often get that. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm way up here in Newfoundland. We're so far up here, we don't even know what we talk like.
That's really good. And then to wrap it all up, your old standby, your Alberta.
Alberta's down here. Hey, my name's Albert, and I live in Alberta.
Spot on.
Yeah. You could tell the difference between all those, right?
There's a nuanced difference. It takes a trained ear, you know? Mm-hmm. I think for Canadians, a lot of people are dabbing a tear.
Right, No, Canadians.
Like if you're living in Vancouver right now, and your mom lives in Calgary, you just brought them home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You brought him home.
So, speaking of Canadians, I read in the papers, on the headlines, that you did...
In the trades.
In the trades, that you did the Wayward Sisters podcast.
I did. I was invited to be a guest on the Wayward podcast.
Which, dare I say, could be called our sister podcast.
Yeah, it could.
And, so after all these years, you finally went on...
Finally went on. Kim Rhodes, Brianna Buckmaster were in the same hotel I was in doing the podcast, like 3 floors down from me. So it was they couldn't have made it more convenient.
I was going to ask them, and you just answered the question. I was going to ask them, how did you get him?
Because they lured me downstairs with blueberries, the promise of blueberries. How into antioxidants I am.
Right.
And they snagged me. Then I got down there and they had an actual net and they threw it over me.
Right. Now, when you say antioxidants and blueberries, you mean vodka, right?
Vodka and porn.
Okay, vodka and porn. Okay. How was that? How was that on the? How do they run things over there on that podcast?
It's different because they have one microphone and they just sit on either side of it. So it's more like you're on Charlie Rose. You know what I mean? Like it's a round table thing, literally at a round table. And they just had this mic like I have here, this Yeti, and they just set it in the middle of the room, in the middle of the table, I mean, and we talk around it. And then I guess Kim still does editing and stuff, she says, but it's not like everybody's on a separate track.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, and they bring up a topic, something. There are things that other people do on podcasts, Rob, it's called bringing up topics.
Uh-huh. An actual having a plan.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Having an idea of what they're going to talk about. I'd never heard of such a thing. But they had it and they instituted that strategy and it really kept the conversation focused. Oh. Very little talk about centigrade or your hats or, you know.
How often did you get up to go talk to your contractor?
That was the weird part.
Or tell your kids to put on SPF.
None of my kids came in the apartment. None of the contractors showed up. It was really weird.
That's bizarre.
I will say this. An air conditioning repairman did come by at one point, but he was there for Kim.
Okay. Like, was there an air conditioner to be fixed or?
Well, I certainly hope so. He kept sort of grinding his hips and saying, y'all think there's too much heat in this room?
Yeah, he's one of those.
You know what I mean? And then I said, well, is that your tool bag? And he reached his tool bag and did something, and all of a sudden it started playing Everybody Dance Now.
It was your birthday present.
And then he said, this isn't the only place where I keep my tools. And I didn't know what he meant, but I didn't also have any follow-up questions. So.
And at this point, he was naked.
Gesticulating towards his groin violently. I still didn't pick up on the clues.
Have you ever has anyone ever gotten you a stripper for an event like that where they arrive at your door and you think they're one thing and they wind up being another?
No.
Ask me the same question.
Have you ever stripped for somebody at an event?
That was not the question.
Okay, have you ever been hired to strip for somebody at any kind of
event?
Still
not the question.
Have you ever been to a religious institution and at some point in the process of attending that religious institution been forced out of your clothing?
That's shockingly not the question.
All right, I know this. Have you ever performed sex acts for money?
Yes.
Okay.
Twice in my lifetime.
I have a follow-up question. Have you ever been paid to stop performing a sex act?
Yeah. That's the right answer.
Has anybody ever thrown hundreds at you begging you to get dressed?
Please stop. Please, please, sir. Please go home.
And you said your wife, you said, I live here.
When I turned 21, my college roommates, we had a party, and halfway through the party is a knock on the door. It's the police.
Oh no, dude.
Yeah. And this woman police officer's like, I need you to turn it down. I said, I'm so sorry. We're going to turn it down right away. And should I need to come in and look around? I said, oh my God, really? Seriously?
Cause you have drugs in there for sure. Right.
Junior in college, there might have been some weed, but I was taking it seriously. And then there's this guy behind her who's not in a suit. He's just like more of a bouncer dude who had what do you call that? A jam
Radio?
Box?
Jam
yeah.
Box?
Yeah.
Box?
And, before I knew it, she sat me down in a chair and, he put the music on and then she started taking her cop uniform off.
What was she searching for at this point?
I don't know. She I don't know, but she searched all my pockets.
Wow.
And there were a whole bunch of people around.
Did you see the warrant? Like, what was it?
I never saw the warrant. Look, the cop, she took off her clothes, she put them back on, and she left. That's all I know. And I never got a ticket or anything.
Dude, I hate to tell you this. I think that was not a police officer.
What?
Yeah, I think that was a bogus police stop.
The other time it happened was my
Wait, what song were they playing?
I don't remember. I've got pictures, though. Mm. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. It's not really my scene. That's why the people do it, because they like to see me embarrassed. And then the other time it happened was my joint bachelorette party with my then-wife, Molly. And we're talking about 1994. My friend Nikki hired a stripper, a male stripper and a female stripper, and they tied
us. Which one was for you, or was it both everybody for everybody?
No, they tied us back to back, and the male stripper stripped for Molly while the female stripper stripped for me. And all I can remember is that mine's name was Treasure Chest, which I thought was a really interesting name. I asked about Mr. and Mrs. Chest, if she had a sister. Elizabeth Chest. But the other thing is that all I could see was the audience and of people, and all they were watching was what was ever happening behind me with Molly and this dude. They're like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
No, no. And at one point, a knee was knocking against my head.
Yeah, I remember spending time with you and Molly at one point back in the day, and some risque question came up, and they're like, have you guys ever done blah, blah, blah? And you guys both said, no, no way. And then Molly goes, well, with Rob? And then she just faded. She didn't want to answer the question.
Right. Yeah.
I guess things happened to that.
Yeah, no, he did ungodly things to her, and everyone really enjoyed it. And I did not enjoy that as much. It made me very uncomfortable. Anyway, that was 1994 and maybe 95. We got married in 95, so it was probably 95. Anyway, you were, at that point, you just birthed your first child.
In 94?
Yeah. You were what, 38?
you confused me.
I'm doing a joke.
There.
I'm doing a joke. I'm doing a funny.
Took me a second, because I was like, wait a minute, Steve wasn't born then. Yeah, man, you got married young. You got married early. Let's see. I've never had that experience. I've been at a place where guys have had strippers show up. I find it so uncomfortable even to be in the audience.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable. Honestly, for this thing that I'm talking about, it was really quite funny in retrospect, but this woman was taking off her clothes in front of me, and no one was watching that. All the straight guys in the room kind of left the room, and it was just my gay friends and the women in the room, and all I could see was them, some lined up on the side, and they were just looking at what was happening with Molly and this guy. And like no one really was cared about what was happening at my end. And I was like, with this woman, I was like, please just stop. You know, it was so awkward.
I know. I remember going to, I was friends that we do a strip club when I was 21, and I paid the girl to sit down. Yeah. It's like, here, she's like, oh, your friends bought me this. I'm like, cool. If it's my nickel, just grab a seat.
Oh, geez.
It's so uncomfortable for me.
Remember
in Milan
when you dragged us all into a strip club?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you guys just were so upstanding. It didn't want to go. And
My one of my last, I think, strip club experiences was Misha Collins in like Australia, I think. He was like, let's do it.
Misha strip for you?
Yeah.
By the way, for those who were keeping track at home, I was the lone voice of dissent in Milan.
You know, we're past that. Sorry, we've moved on. This is
just want to go on the record.
Wait, no, you had your chance.
The Italian government has ruled.
Nope. Milano.
Speaking of the Italian government, let's turn our attentions over to the UK. We lost the Queen.
That's
no joke, man. You know what it's
yeah.
like.
It's a big deal.
I'm not the most active guy on Twitter, but I do check the headlines. Mm-hmm. This morning or yesterday, a tweet from Mick Jagger.
Yeah,
talking
man.
About his affection for the Queen and some. I mean, I only say that because I've never seen Mick Jagger post. Maybe he posts all the time. I don't follow him, but somehow I've never seen it. And I thought, wow. And it was what his statement was lovely and reflected on his childhood and his life of being a rock star, but also meeting the Queen. And then Damian Lewis posted some lovely comments about his experience with the Queen. And you know, dude, say what you will about monarchies in general or the British monarchy, but that woman has been a stalwart symbol of class and culture, way longer than we've been on this planet. And to be 26, let's think about everything. She was not in line for the throne because it was to go to her uncle. Mm-hmm. He decided to marry somebody that wasn't condoned by the crown, so he had to renounce the throne. It went to her dad, which is what the movie's King's Speech is about. And then, so suddenly, you're like, oh, I'm going to be a princess most of my life, or I'm going to be not even a princess. You'd be a, I don't know, a lord or a lady. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you'd be if you're the niece, but you're going to be a niece of the king. And then, boom, suddenly you're the daughter of the king, which means you're in line for the throne. And then at 26, which is incredibly young, you're now...
The queen.
The queen.
Which is what the show The Queen is about.
I never watched The
Crown. The Crown, yeah. And then her dad won an Academy Award for King's Speech.
And then he went on to be in The Kingsman, which is a great movie as well.
Great movie.
He did
as well.
A lot of king themed movies.
Just did The Staircase, which was a real turn for him, but he did a remarkable job in that. I don't know if you saw that.
Unbelievable monarch he is, and a great actor as well.
And a great actor. It's amazing. And I saw a lot of stuff about, people have opinions about monarchies and colonialization, and I respect that stance as well. However, you can't deny that this woman is an icon. She's been around for so long, and she means a lot to that country. I mean, to the UK. I mean, it's you know, they just had the Jubilee, and it was like this. It's a huge celebration, and I hope that they'll find it again for the coronation. But yeah, my lady friend is from the UK, and she cried yesterday. It means a lot to them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It means a lot to Americans. If you think about the impact that she has on the globe, I know that I believe Emmanuel Macron posted something lovely, and like,
absolutely,
you know, leaders,
yeah,
from across the globe,
yeah,
are going to be feeling this. And you know what I think is interesting, just being a bit of a World War II buff, is that she took the throne while Winston Churchill was
it's crazy.
Prime Minister.
Dude, that's insane. Yeah, it's history, man. It's history. It's yeah. And so Charles is going to be King Charles III. Is that what I hear?
Yep, that's right.
So yeah, that'll be a big deal. Ruth and I just watched the, there's a documentary on Lady Diana, Princess Diana, on HBO. That's quite excellent.
Oh, that's great, man. And she's a interesting figure too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Remarkable. Did the boys speak out at all? Charles' sons?
Oh, I literally was thinking Jared and Jensen. I'm missing the tie-in here.
Wow, that's funny that the boys, that's what you go right to.
My brain went
not
to
your own children.
Literally, it went to, well, I knew you didn't mean my children.
Right.
So then I was thinking, are you talking about Kripke and the show? Are you talking about
Jared the
Jensen?
Boys?
I was so
right.
Lost.
Did the boys have anything to, right, that makes sense. No, Harry and
I do not know. I did not see any posts from them. I mean,
Harry and William.
I did not see that. Maybe it's, I would imagine, a time of mourning for that family, so
yeah.
Maybe no.
Yeah. But hey, she lived a long life. You know, she was what, 96?
She's 96, and she lived a long life. And dude, I'm sure she had uncomfortable moments, but she basically worked, died.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is pretty awesome for all the people we know personally and just in the world who have injuries or cancers or diseases that make the process brutal. She did not suffer that same fate. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Gift to the country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To not have to see their queen suffer.
It's yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she. What was it? Last week or 2 weeks ago? She just welcomed in the. I think it was last week. A few days ago.
It was days ago that she welcomed in the new
Prime
Minister.
Prime Minister. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, you got to think about how long this woman's been in under the scrutiny of the press, the global press.
Totally.
And then social media, but forget global social media. Just the global press that has followed every step. The UK press that has followed her every move. This woman is scandal free. Yeah, has she done some things that people are like, oh, you weren't that warm to Diana or whatever. There's some things that, you know, she could be criticized about. Sure.
Or Meghan Markle, the little bit of drama. But yeah, no, it's
correct.
No,
but in terms of just flat out scandals,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
they're saying yesterday her face has been reprinted more than any other person in the world, probably in history, just because of social media. But, you know, she's on the all the different denominations of money in all the different places that the UK
right.
that are in the whatever
Commonwealth.
And, you know, not to mention just her picture and in media. Yeah, she's like, you know, met the most. I mean, yeah, the woman has, you have pictures of her with, through history, for the last 75 years, you know.
Question I bet you don't know the answer to, but maybe you do.
Wisconsin.
It says she's met every, oh, shoot, you're right. I do. Where's the cheese place? Oh, right. She has met every U.S. president except LBJ. Why did she not meet Lyndon Baines Johnson? Was he not president long enough? Or like,
that's what they said.
Yeah, she never had an audience with Lyndon Johnson.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, that was, what, Vietnam era? I don't know.
Yeah, it was after, you know, JFK got killed, and then Lyndon Johnson took over. And all I can think of is Lyndon Johnson didn't run again.
Right.
He had a 3-year term. Like, but it, I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been that. But you wonder, even afterwards, after he served as president, still. Huh, that's strange.
Right.
I don't know. That would have been, what, mid 64 to 68 or something? Yeah. 65 to 68? 64 to 68? Weird. I don't know. What year did she take, what's 75 years ago?
70
years ago. What is that?
Hold on a second. I'm going to just look at this real quick. Yeah, he was president. No, he was president longer. So he served. He finished out JFK's term and then won another term. So he served from November 22nd, 1963 to January 20th, 1969.
Okay. Yeah, it was longer than we thought.
But that's still weird. Like, why did the Queen not meet him?
Not a fan?
I guess not. I'm Googling it now. I want people to know. Okay, here's the story. It's unclear why the Queen and LBJ never had a formal meeting. There you go.
Well, that's. I'm glad that you did the work because people needed to know.
That should answer all the questions that anybody had.
Well done, sir.
Oh, at the beginning of the. Of his presidency, she was on maternity leave. And then he was too wrapped up in the Vietnam War to do social tours, I guess, in Europe.
Okay. Who'd she give birth to then in the late 60s?
You're not going to believe this. Charlie Watts, drummer for the Rolling Stones.
But not Charles. He's older than us. I mean, 69's when you were born. I mean, let's, you know.
Right, she's in an outboard, so I'm trying to think of like, 63. So who was born in 63?
Oh, that Andrew? Might have been. Maybe.
That's been Andrew.
Okay. Let's go with Andrew. Boy, we're doing the good work here, guys. We're bringing it to you.
Well, you know, our motto is now and was and will always be, if you listen to this podcast and learn anything, we haven't done our job.
That's right.
So, Rob, what's next for you? You're always off doing something. You got an album coming out. You got a big show I saw in North Hollywood coming up.
Yes.
What's going on there?
That. We got a big show. We're doing an album release party in end of October.
Loud & Swain we're talking about for people.
Loud & Swain, my band. And we've got a new album coming out. The weekend that we will, I don't know if you're going, but we will all be in Vancouver the weekend that our album comes out.
Your album comes out for at the Vancouver convention?
Yeah, the 21st of October.
Oh, great.
And then the weekend after, we're going to have an album release party here in North Hollywood. So that's exciting stuff. I'm very excited about the album, excited about the new songs, all new songs. I've got a work thing I can't quite talk about yet, but I got that coming up. I'm going to be doing that, and then...
That's exciting. I know what it is. I'm not going to say word one, but I know all about it. Oh, I do, and it's very exciting, and people are going to be very excited, but I'm not going to say word one. Your secret's safe with me, Robbie.
Thank you, Richard.
Mum's the word.
And then I got, big convention month. We're going to Kansas City, which I'm excited about because that's my hometown-ish.
Hold on now.
Hometown adjacent.
Yeah, I'm going to say let's...
I mean, all my cousins live in Kansas City. And,
that's cool.
And it's 2 hours from my home, so my mom will be there and my sister's coming. I think my Aunt Susie might hang out. And then...
I hear there's a million little women there. Are you going to get you one?
What's that from? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come.
Uh-huh. There's a line that says like million little women. You're going to get
like
you
that.
One?
I'm going to look up. I'm going to Google it.
How
lyrics
incredibly
to Kansas City.
How incredibly masochistic.
It's a woman singing.
Oh.
Okay, here it goes. Oh, no, even better. going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. You know that part.
Okay. Yeah.
Going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm going to get me one.
Oh, geez, man.
There you go, Robbie.
Oh, no, no, no. But, you know, Richard, before Kansas City, we're traveling so far for a way different region of the country. We're going to Denver, a mere day's drive from Kansas City. So we're going to Denver.
Wow. From coast to coast.
Yeah, exactly.
From the heartland of America to slightly further into the heartland of America.
Yeah, we'll be in Denver. And for anyone who didn't catch us in Denver, we'll be right next door in Kansas City. Here's the other thing about Kansas City that people keep saying, and it's really driving me crazy. Like, people, when I say people, I mean like other actors who are going and people who from creation who do the conventions. It's not, Kansas City's not in Kansas, everybody. There's a little bit of Kansas City that's in Kansas, but when you say Kansas City, you're talking about Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri, 80% of Kansas City in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. It's Missouri. So when people are like, so you're going to Kansas, we're going to Kansas. When's Kansas? When then we've
but
got,
also,
we're going
but
to Kansas.
Wait, it does overlap a little bit, right? You just said it did. I mean,
there's a little bit that overlaps, but it's like, there's a little bit of St. Louis that's in Illinois, but no one ever thinks it's St. Louis, Illinois. It's just
I never knew that. I did not know that at all, that St. Louis bleeds into Illinois. I had no idea.
Yeah. There's a little bit of St. Louis that's in Illinois, and there's a little bit of Kansas City that's in Kansas. But the bulk of Kansas City is, when you say Kansas City, you know, downtown Kansas City, and, you know, where the Chiefs play and the Royals play and
barbecue
and jazz and Civil War battles.
Giant shuttlecock.
What? What does that have to do with anything?
There's a
big shuttlecock there.
Yeah, there's a park there with a big shuttlecock.
Now, you know this because you did a movie in Kansas City.
And Lee's Summit, Missouri.
And Lee's Summit. Right,
a beautiful, really quaint, cute suburb of Kansas City.
I know
City.
Lee's Summit. I knew Lee's Summit well.
It's really, really cute town. And so we would go into Kansas City for the barbecue and whatnot.
Right. So anyway, my cousin Ted is there. And when I was a little kid, Ted's father, my Uncle Pat, used to drive me to this one road, it was Warnell Road, some road that divides, State Line. It's State Line. It divides the part that goes into Kansas, and he'd drive me across it, and right in the middle of the road, he's like, now you're halfway in Kansas and halfway in Missouri, and I'd be like, oh my God.
That's
I was like,
cool.
You know, mind-blowing for a seven-year-old.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited to go to actually, you know, we never have been in my home state for a convention, so that'll be fun. And I'm excited to see what you're going to do. Everyone's talking about what song you're going to sing. And
yeah, I'll be right there. Just I'll tell you what, you guys warm up and then just count me in. Just go
three, two, four, Richard Spade.
And stare at the door.
No, you're not going to be joining us because you are going to be running off to direct again. On the... Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think this is a secret, but you're directing The Winchesters.
Shh.
Oh, sorry. I already said it.
Just say, Coda, the Inchester's Way.
Inchester's Way.
Yes, I'm directing The Winchesters. So I will be wrapped up doing that and unable to attend.
Completing your trifecta of all of the supernatural offshoot shows. Not even completing. There's a few more, I guess, we could count, but...
What's the trifecta? What's the other...
It's not trifecta. They're not three of them. I'm just saying that you've done a lot of the Supernatural offshoot shows. I mean...
Oh, Walker.
And Kung Fu, written by a Supernatural person, right? Yeah. Walker.
I've only done Walker and Kung Fu. I have never done
Kung
The Boys.
Kung Fu.
I watched The Boys. I haven't done The Boys.
Winchester's, Walker...
Oh, yeah, Winchester's. And Supernatural. I did Supernatural.
And Supernatural. Have you done the...
The prequel to Walker? No,
yeah.
I have not.
What's that called?
Independence.
Independence. Walker Independence. That's right.
And I know the producing director on that show, and I was not hired. And I mean, I think that tells a story right there. Right there, that tells a story.
Who's that?
Shalene and I went to the Warner Brothers Directors Program together.
Oh, wow.
Great guy. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why.
Well, listen, don't talk to me. I mean, I, you know,
Shalene Choksi, this is a message to you from me. Hire me.
Wow.
There you go.
You said it.
Too harsh?
No, I mean, I could say the same thing to all the people who run all those shows you work on. Anybody who's ever directed the Winchesters or Walker or Kung Fu, any of those directors, if you're
or
listening right now.
Or Supernatural. I think the Supernatural people who've gone off to do other things.
Other things. Please, but specifically the directors, specifically the people that have the power to cast me, cast me.
That seems like
I'm
a very pointed statement aimed right at Shalene Choksi.
No, she, I mean, he ducked, and then it went right to in your shoulder.
It's funny about old Shalene. I think I knew Shalene was hired before Shalene knew he was hired. I remember texting Shalene going, congratulations. And he's like, what? Huh? How did you? But I... Yeah, man. So I'm sure it's Independence is going to be great and super fun. I love the idea that it's a period piece Western. And
You get on there, man. It's going to run for several seasons, and you'll get in there.
Yeah, and when I do, if there's a Rob Benedict type role,
it's going to you.
I unfortunately will take that role myself.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of taking that role, Robbie, we've got another podcast.
We got another role to play. Yep. Okay, we're gonna jump off this one. It's nice to talk to everybody again, even though you didn't say anything. We did all the talking.
Yeah, to all of our UK friends, jokes aside, our sincerest condolences for the passing of the Queen.
Absolutely.
What a patriarch for a nation. What an exemplary patriarch. Sorry, matriarch. Let me start over. Exemplary matriarch.
And the thing is, I have the power to cut that out, but I'm going to keep it.
I know you won't. You jerk. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Hey, thanks, everybody.
And it'll be interesting to watch this whole King Charles III play out and that coronation, because that's going to be a big event.
It will be big. It'll be big. It's going to be like the wedding back
in
the
day. I'll watch that. I mean, I don't know if you...
Hell yeah, I'll watch it. I love that shit. I really do.
It's really fascinating. So to our British brothers and sisters under the United Kingdom and all of the territories under the Queen's reign, condolences.
We'll see you next time, everyone. It's the King's car.